Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello, it's great to be with you today. I'm Alicia, and joining me from Charlotte, North Carolina is Calvin Williams. Today's episode is brought to you by Equilibria Incorporated, and this season is all about profitable processes. Calvin and I are actually going to do something a little bit different in this episode because we're going to talk about how you can document a service delivery process for your company, and we're going to leverage some insights that he's gained as he's walked through that process for his own company. Now, you may be listening to this and thinking, well, I don't actually provide a service. I actually provide a product to customers, a tangible product. Don't worry, this process also applies to how you actually manufacture a product as well. So without any further ado, Calvin, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Doing very good. Hopefully you are as well.
I am, and I am so excited to have this conversation with you. You and I talk through Zoom all the time, and it's funny because we've never actually met each other in person, but I can actually remember when I first found out about your company, Freeman Capital. Mm-hmm. You were featured in the Founders of Color newsletter. Shout out to Kelly Burton.
Of course.
And as I read your profile, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I need to connect with this guy. And I remember going to the website, and it was just so incredibly impressive. So before we actually get into telling people how they can go about documenting their service delivery process, I was wondering if you could first tell us more about Freeman Capital and share your backstory with us, because it really adds a lot of color and context to what led you to starting Freeman Capital.
Happy to do so. And thanks again for having me on the show. The book was great, and I'm happy that that out, and I'm happy to be on the podcast. Of course, I've listened as well. But yeah, so Freeman, So I first started my own startup out of college. I built a web development studio, and I had done pretty well with it. And I had kind of come to the end of my time there. So it had been about 9 years. And I had a small exit with my partner, who basically bought me out. So I had what I thought was a little bit of money until I went and tried to talk to a wealth manager. And then at that moment, it was very clear that there are levels to this thing. And in his eyes, I was still broke. And to me, that bothered me, that just because I couldn't write him a check for $250,000, I basically didn't, qualify for a phone call. And that bothered me because I felt like I had been moving forward in life and that I wanted a partner to help me get to the next level. And so that's why I founded Freeman Capital, with the purpose of making wealth management accessible to everyone, especially people of color, and do it in a cost-effective way to where, for our service, our plans start at less than $1 a day. And so a service delivery process is critical for us because it's the only way that we can scale and serve, at the dollar amount that we are, and still ensure that we have a high level of quality.
Now, you just said something really important, making sure that you had the process in place so that you all could scale. And one thing I've noticed ever since we first talked a couple of years ago, you are constantly winning awards, my friend. You and your company always winning these different tech competitions and different business awards. And I know that your company has also been featured on major news outlets like NBC and USA Today. The reason I bring that up, Calvin, is because what can happen is when we as individuals, as well as our companies, are kind of thrust into the spotlight, it attracts a lot of attention and hopefully a lot more new customers. Right. But what can happen is if you don't have the operations in place to support that demand, you and I both know that can be very, very bad for business. And some businesses actually, in fact, implode. So something that you and I have been working on for a couple of months now is Freeman's service delivery process. And I was hoping we could kind of walk through some of the main steps, because there are certainly elements to your process that are proprietary and we don't obviously want to compromise that. But if we could just kind of speak in generalities as we talk through the different steps. So step one in documenting a service delivery process, and again, this also applies to manufacturing a product, is you want to start with defining what your promise is to your customer, or what is the goal. But I really like framing it in terms of what is it that you're promising to your customer, because the whole point of going through this exercise is to make sure that you can enhance the customer's experience while providing a valuable product or service. So can you start by sharing with us what the promise is to the Freeman Capital customer?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people may look at something like a service delivery process and focus on the main part of like the operations of what we're doing. But at the end of the day, this is really like company operations, because it is holistic. Like messaging that is carried from a marketing and branding or even social media perspective, it all sets a certain level of expectation in the mind of the customer when they first come to your website or come to, you know, meet with you or what have you. And so I would say that for us and at Freeman Capital, a thing that is really important for us and our brand is being accessible and being quick to be able to get the information that you need to take the next step. There's probably a better word for that all in one, but and that's really what we are focused on. And so for us, it really kind of starts with what is at the top of the funnel and then what message is communicated in the branding, in the website, or in the content. And so for us, the process first starts with like the first interaction, which that could be on social or it could be via email, which most of our process really does begin, because we need to understand how did they find us? What was their expectation of the next communication or next step in their process? And then how do we move them through that? Because for our operation, we're 100% remote. And so we don't have the, the opportunity to just, you know, scream across the hall or in the same room to do something. It all has to be fully documented so that we can plug and play people and keep things moving forward.
That is really important. The fact that you realize very early on that you would have to have processes in place that could support your company's 100% remote business model. And again, one of many benefits of documenting a process is the fact that you can plug and play, because you've done such a good job of capturing all of the information. So, okay, your customer's promise is being accessible. Yeah. Providing information in a timely manner. I hear so many people complain about their financial advisors because it takes them, if they ever see their financial advisor,
right,
there usually isn't much communication. And what I've always found is that the more money you have, the more communication you'll likely have with your advisor. But to your point, with the people that you are targeting, most financial advisors, if they even accept them as a client, would probably never meet with them in person. So that's really important. So, okay, now that you've defined what the promise is to your customer, the next step is to actually write out all of the steps of your process from lead generation to, okay, you've actually landed the client and that ongoing work that you do with your customer. Can you talk us through how you went through the process of capturing everything that has to be done, starting with lead generation?
Yeah, so for us, it really all started on a whiteboard first, where, you know, we came together and first it was me and I kind of just documented what the major phases were of our process. And for us, it's like 7 major stages. And so there was a lot of drawing, a lot of, you know, connecting the dots. And for us, you know, we're fully remote. So I recorded a video of me explaining it, shared that the team. Then, you know, the team, then they respond. We use Slack to communicate. And so then we were responding in thread. And then at this point, once we kind of had a general gist of what our major steps were going to be for the major phases of our project, Then it came to transitioning it to Excel. Now, if I had to do it all over, I probably would skip Excel and go right to Trello, but I outlined what we did. And so for us, basically broke down a spreadsheet, and it was actually Google Sheets, where it was, you know, the name of the phase and then each individual step that was in that. And then to the right of that, we had a column for, was that 100% automated yet? Because for us to be able to service customers at the level that we need to, we have to put in a lot of automation. And so we did that for each one of the phases, and it was good because I could bring in my security folks, my marketing folks, the engineering team, and that they all had a chance to see and revise and add to each of the steps to then to make sure that it was as full as possible. But now eventually we found that Excel or Google Sheets was good to kind of outlay it, but for it to be really collaborative, we made the transition to have the process be in Trello, which where it now lives, as we can add comments and, you know, pictures and diagrams as we go on from there.
That's really interesting. And I want to put a pin in that for right now. I definitely want to come back to figuring out exactly how you all are using Trello, because that's really fascinating to me. So you took all of these different steps in the process, again, starting from lead generation, all of the different work that you all do in terms of social media and networking and marketing and promoting and branding, all the way to actually landing or closing a deal, and then the ongoing customer interfacing yes. that you all do. And then all of those steps were broken up into what you called 7 major stages.
Yes.
And then the next step from there, that for those listening, is to then figure out all of the tools, the people, as well as the metrics that are associated with each of those stages. So just as an example, Calvin, can you talk to us, just pick one of the stages, any stage that you feel comfortable sharing with us, and kind of talk about the different tools that are associated with that particular stage, as well as the people and the metrics also, if you can.
Yeah, and one more is just like the data. So like data is really important to us too. So like for, you know, our email signup stage, which is at the very top of our funnel, you know, we have an email which, you know, we will get from either our website or from a partner or for an affiliate, what have you. We have that email is the data which represents the person that has to move through from email signup all the way through, you know, signup and being a successful customer, getting the value that we deliver. And so just, you know, in that email signup stage, we had at least 5 steps that had to happen in that process with, you know, our CRM, with, you know, our survey tool, and then with our data infrastructure tool that would move data from one tool to another called Zapier, and it's a great tool for just integrations. And so this is all in one phase where we had, you know, 5 steps. We were touching at least 3 or 4 different systems, and this was impacting, or the people that had to sign off on it were marketing, as they were on the front end side of the website. Had the actual engineering team who was making sure that the data was moving from one system to another, to the security team who had to make sure that the platforms that we were using were secure. And then at the end of the day, at this stage, marketing owned this phase because it is their goal to move this person, i.e. their email, from the email signup stage to being a customer and actually paying for our product.
I realized we probably should have described what this spreadsheet looks like too. So I'll go ahead and make a crude attempt. I'll do the best that I can, considering that we're relying on audio here.
Yeah.
So imagine if you have a large table that you've created in, like Calvin said, you could start with something like Microsoft Excel or Google Sheets. Across the first row, you would have each stage of your service delivery process. So one of the stages that Calvin mentioned was their email signup stage. To the very first column in that table is going to actually capture all of your tools, your people, the steps associated with that stage, as well as the metrics and the data, as Calvin mentioned. I think that's a really good add-on. So what he's talking about, or what he's just kind of described to us, is that In this table, if you look at the column that's associated with the email signup stage, you can actually see the names of the roles of the different people who perform the steps associated with that stage, as well as the different tools that they're using, the data that they're collecting and analyzing, as well as their metrics. And what we mean by metrics are, what would be a metric for you all? Is it number of people who sign up or?
Yeah, so there would be a couple metrics just for this one stage. And so
okay.
The first one would be on the website conversion, which is, you know, the number of people that land on a various landing page compared to the number of emails that we get from that page. That would then, you know, we have standards and goals, and so that would let us know how successful we are at that step. And then another one at this stage would be how many people were presented the option to take the new customer survey, and then how many completed it, and then how many moved out of this stage into the next stage. And so each one of those three metrics has an owner and has a goal for where we want that percentage to be, and then we can tweak things if it's not where we want it.
And the beauty of breaking down this overall process, which can be massive and very complex depending on what it is that you're producing or service that you're delivering, is that exactly what Calvin just said. By having it segmented into stages, you can actually isolate where bottlenecks may exist and address it head on before it starts to work its way across all of the other stages of your process. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So that actually is a great segue to the next step is now you've figured out all of the different steps, you've segmented it into stages, you've identified the people, the tools, the metrics, and the data associated with each of those stages. Now you want to figure out where the bottlenecks exist. It could be that in order to fulfill a particular promise that you've made to a customer, you realize, oh my goodness, we promised to deliver this particular service within 24 hours. We're in jeopardy of being able to deliver on that promise because of this particular stage. This is where our process is getting hung up. How can we improve it? Is there another technology that we could be leveraging or incorporating? Is there a person with a better skill set? Do we need more people? There could be all kinds of answers, I guess, to the solution to actually figuring out how to be able to meet that customer promise. The next step is to actually improve. So once you've identified where all of these different bottlenecks are, in the spirit of Lean and Lean Six Sigma, you want to constantly improve. And it sounds like this is something that I know you and your team are constantly doing. You're constantly monitoring data. You're constantly evaluating your processes and figuring out how to make continuous improvements. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is really the linchpin of being successful. I mean, because at the end of the day, we are in some form of marketing and time or, you know, capital. We're paying to have folks come to our service and sign up. And if they're not getting the experience that allows them to get value from our service and for us to recoup the marketing costs, then you have a failed business. And so, you know, just even, I mean, this is just still with the email signup stage. You know, there are so many variables that we can tweak because we're able to make incremental improvements week by week on these percentages and on these metrics that can result in a massive gain for the business. And so for us, even just right now, you know, our open rates and our click-through rates, which is a metric for how many people click a link in an email to get to the next step, are higher than the industry average. But of course, we don't rest on those laurels. And so we, you know, are looking at, you know, just moving someone from the email sign-up stage to the next step. And, you know, this is called A/B testing, where you,
yes,
you know, where you take two populations of similar people and you send them two types of messages that are similar with a difference, and you see which one performs better. And so by having this delivery process broken out fully and seeing where these metrics are, we can then look at, hey, if we can improve the click-through rate of moving someone from email sign-up to product, with the rest of the variables staying the, you know, the same, we can then project the success of our service delivery just by improving if someone could open our mail better with a better email subject line or having a different image or a different color or a icon or changing where our CTAs are, the call to action messages. And so really having this service, you know, delivery method broken down with the metrics for each step and knowing who does what from the CEO's perspective, it really kind of lets us kind of look at this thing from a holistic view and then begin to play with knobs to try and increase the output at the end.
That's a really good point. I never thought about it that way, that you're really looking at it from a macro level first and then drilling down into a more micro level to actually figure out where the tweaks and adjustments need to happen. Great, great point. I like
that. Yeah, I mean, because for me, you know, we have a certain goal for the number of, you know, successful plans that are built or customers that sign up. And, you know, just saying that you want 1,000 more customers and you don't know where your holes are, where you have opportunities to improve, you really don't have that. But with this process, it gives us visibility and we can map out backwards that if all of our numbers stay consistent, how many people do we need to drive to the top of our website to bring them through every single stage to having a happy customer at the end? And so for us, it's been very freeing. And, you know, we're all remote, so we all get to have one board that we rely on and focus as we go forward.
Another great nugget that you just shared there, which is the idea of starting with what you know the goal or the promise is and working backwards to figure out, okay, how can we actually reach that target of 1,000 new customers every month or whatever that that goal or promise is for a company. Now, because this is the Business Infrastructure Podcast, as you know, we talk not only about processes, but we also talk about people as well as tools. Yep. And for those who are listening for the first time, business infrastructure is simply a system for how you link your people, your processes, and your tools to ensure growth in a profitable and sustainable way. Now, Calvin, you've talked us through your process and how you kind of, at a very high level, documented the service delivery process. You've also talked to us about some of the different people on your team that help out with the process. You've mentioned some tools. You mentioned Trello, Slack, the fact that you're using video to record your whiteboard sessions. Yeah. You talked about Excel and Google Sheets. Can we touch on a little of those a little bit more? I'm really interested in how you all are, how you took your that table originally created in Google Sheets and you converted that to Trello. First, can you tell us what Trello actually is?
Yeah, so Trello is a form of a project management tool. It is one that is based on, the visual presentation of columns for phases or groupings of tasks. And then under that column, what they call cards, which you can think of as like a subtask or a piece of work. And so that lends itself very well to this type of a service delivery process, because from here, I can see, you know, my seven major phases, and then you can color code your task or your cards, as they call it. And so this, for us, we have our color coding based on status of if there is work that needs to be done, if it's fully automated. And then we can have under each one of those cards, which is really valuable, is you can have a conversation thread on one subject. And so just going back to the email stage one, for example, on the move email to next stage of the process, that's a subtask or a card in the whole email stage phase. There we have conversations with the content writer, with, you know, our email manager, and so that they can figure out, you know, what can they do on that part. And it gives me visibility on what all is going on, even though we aren't all in the same space. And so for this type of a process, when you are remote, you can add as many people as you need from your team. They can all see it and collaborate together, add other ideas, tasks, or cards. And it just works very, very well when you are trying to organize something that follows this type of a format.
So if I understand correctly, what it sounds like to me is that you've taken those steps per stage, you've entered those steps, and they almost serve as like a checklist?
Yes, very, very.
In Trello. Got it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And that removes all guesswork.
Bingo.
Because everyone knows, because I'm familiar with Trello, and I know the way it works. Whenever you create a task or subtask, you can assign that task to a person.
Exactly.
So I love that. That's awesome. Now, you also mentioned Slack. How are you all using Slack?
Yeah, so for my team, we use Slack as the primary internal form of communication. There are other tools like it, like Microsoft Teams is one, where you know you have a what they call channels, which is for each one of the teams. And so for me and my team, you know, there are channels which are nothing more than just a private group room for like the marketing team, the engineering team, the security team. And so what ends up happening is that we can link from the Trello board, drop that link into Slack, and then you know they all can see it, and then we can chat about it either in real time or whenever they come back. And so that is how that has replaced email for us. We really don't email much, except if there's something that is, you know, if I'm working, you know, on the weekend and I want to bother folks, I'll send it an email to go out on Monday or something. But that has like formed our office space. And then whenever we need to hop on, that's when Zoom is wonderful. And so for us, the core kind of infrastructure tools that let us work, even though my team is scattered across the country, are tools like Trello, Slack for real time and kind of asynchronous communication, and then Zoom to kind of let us connect and still, because communication is just 7% of the words that we say. This lets me get at least another like 20 or 40% in, and then we go on from there.
Now with Zoom, you referenced a whiteboarding session that you had earlier in the interview. Did you do that in real time, or did you already kind of write out what the process looks like in general, and then you just got on a Zoom session, invited some people from your team, and turned the camera on? Like, how did that actually?
Yeah, so video is a really big part of how we work, both real time and asynchronous, because we know that I have folks in different time zones. And so I may, you know, in this case, hop on a, you know, a Zoom meeting, say if anyone can join, can, and I record the session. And then I walk through it all, and then we post it, and then people again drop that link in Slack, and then we have that conversation that way. There are some times when like we'll kind of prep it that way, and then we'll like schedule a meeting to meet in Zoom and actually talk through it. I try with remote teams to have as much video face-to-face as we can because it helps to communicate better. But oftentimes, there are two tools that I use for video, which I don't know if I've even shared this one with you before. Zoom is great, but another really lightweight tool is called Loom. So it's L-O-M, like Zoom with an L. It is great for like short snippet videos. So with that, like, I can walk through a process and it will record my screen and audio and video, and it's free, like, so it's freaking great. And then it's just a link that someone can just click and watch. And so with that, it's really great to like iterate quickly, because like I'll say, hey, there is a problem with X. I'll talk through it on video with the screen sharing on, and then I'll post the link, and then someone will see it, you know, five hours later, 5 minutes later, whatever, but then they see me walk through it live. And so that helps to cut down a lot of the back and forth of, oh, it's this, oh, it's that, because we actually are doing it live with a really short, just video link, Loom. I just stumbled on it like 6 months ago, but it's like freaking great.
This is why I love talking to you, because you're definitely a tech guy. And every time I talk to you, I learn about a new tool. This is great. I think you mentioned that there was one more that you wanted to talk about. So,
Just my favorite tool, which is the backbone of my company, which they should give me like money for the way I talk about it, is Zapier. Z-A-P-I-E-R. What Zapier does is that it connects to, I think, over 1,800 different apps, and it lets you move data from one app to another, even if they don't connect to each other. And so just for example's sake, Zapier can connect to WordPress or to Wix or to a whole bunch of website things. It can collect emails and then drop those and create a user in your CRM or in MailChimp or in a whole bunch of different applications. So this one tool, it is business infrastructure because it literally just connects applications. Like most of the web, most of the SaaS-based apps, that software as a service, most of the good ones connect to Zapier, and you're free to just move data from application to application, even if those don't talk. So then you can automatically have your data be in your CRM, go to your support desk, back up in an Excel spreadsheet, all automatically moving around in real time. And, you know, if you want to, you can have it send out an email or post a message in Slack saying that you got a new message. Like, it's amazing.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like, it's called middleware, right? When you're allowed to connect.
Yes.
See, I learned that from some previous guests on my podcast.
Yeah, so this is definitely middleware of the web. It's very cost effective. Their plans are super cheap. I don't know off the top of my head, but it is the backbone of a lot of companies that just let you move data from applications that don't directly connect to anything else but Zapier. So it just lets
awesome.
You know everything.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick moment to hear a word from our sponsor. And when we come back, I'd like to know if there's any other parting words of advice or insight that you'd like to share with our listeners. Equilibria Incorporated is an operations management consulting firm offering products and services to help fast-growing small businesses scale with less pain. Visit eqbsystems.com for more information. And we're back with Calvin Williams. Now that you and your team have documented this Freeman Capital service delivery process, what advice would you give to those who are listening in terms of, I can imagine, whenever people think of process and they've never actually gone through the process of capturing a process, the first thing they think is, oh my gosh, the amount of time that's involved. How long did it take you to get a really good process going? Because obviously you're constantly tweaking it and making improvements.
So I honestly don't think it took too long. I mean, it might have taken an hour to just get it up on a whiteboard the way that I want. I mean, because the facts are, we all know what we are trying to do or what we have done. And so you're just writing it down. And so it's now, when you have that first kind of what I call a brain dump, yes, you go back and you make refinements to it. You bring in your team, they add more value to as well. But initially, I feel like most folk can at least map out the phases of their process and the couple key tasks that have to be done in less than 30 to 45 minutes. And so I wouldn't focus, because initially I didn't focus on all of the tools and kind of all that stuff. It's just like, what are the steps that we have to do to get someone from A to B? And then as you go through that, and then you figure, okay, you know, oh, I'm going back to this system 2, 3, 4 times. Like, you just get to just go through it more and more together. So, I mean, it really probably took all in all total time, less than 4 or 5 hours over the course of 2 weeks. Like, it just was not a whole lot of time, but the value is immense.
That's awesome. And that's what I love about the way we have figured out a very short, quick, effective way to get this information captured, get everyone involved. Like you said, it allows for an extreme amount of visibility among your team members. So obviously you didn't find it a difficult exercise to do.
No, I mean, and I think that you really have a choice. You can do it up front and take the time, or you can have the customers go through and break your process, have reputational damage, and, you know, deal with all that. So it's like, either way, you're going to have to figure out your process. And so you might as well start at the beginning. Or if you want to wait, you can wait, but you'll find out that the customers are going to push you, that if they don't have a process to follow, they'll start creating their own and just start asking you for random things that you may not be able to do, and then you're caught.
Great point. You've been a tremendous asset in recommending all of these amazing technologies. Are there any other resources that you recommend for those who are listening and they may be thinking, well, where can I learn more about how to document a process, particularly a service delivery process?
So I'll say that you did not ask me to say this, but your book is a great resource, okay? All right? I mean,
Shameless plug.
but it was good, though. I mean, I sat there and I read it, you know, as you know, like I just knocked it out because it was directly applicable. So that was great because it helped me to understand the context that I needed to operate in. And so for that, that was great. And I mean, really, once you have your context and you have a paper or a dry erase board or a spreadsheet, you really can do this like on your, like the process is what you do. And there's just, you can find tools to try and make it hard, but at the end of the day, you're literally just writing down what you do. And then you walk through, you go, oh, I didn't know that I always did, or I forgot that I do that. And so it really just comes down with getting the mindset and then just putting pen to paper or fingers to keys and go to work.
I'm so glad you said that because sometimes we have a tendency to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
And with all of these great digital tools that we have at our fingertips,
yep,
there's still, at the end of the day, nothing like paper and whiteboards to sketch it out. And then obviously you can transfer it to some type of a digital technology. But I actually have some books that I'd like to recommend as well. And Calvin, I think we talked about this first book. It's called Building a Story Brand.
Yes. Oh, I love that book. I read that like a weekend.
Yes, by Donald Miller. Yep. And what's so great about this book, I first heard about this book from Hassani X, and Hassani was a guest on the podcast a few seasons ago, heard about the book, and coincidentally, I had lunch with one of my mentors shortly after I interviewed Hassani. She actually gifted me this book.
Oh, wow.
And like you, I read it in just a few days. I mean, very quick, easy read. This book is great for getting your service delivery process started. It's helping you figure out your why. Mm-hmm. What is your story? Because at the end of the day, your customers, they aren't just connecting with Freeman Capital. They're connecting with Calvin Williams. What's Calvin's story? So get this book. I highly, highly recommend it. And he also has an online tool where you can fill out this template to help you really understand what your company's value proposition is. And again, helping you answer that first question. What is that promise that you're offering to your customer? So definitely get that book. The other book that I recommend is called Secret Service. I don't know if I've mentioned this one to you before, Calvin. It's called Secret Service. Subtitle is Hidden Systems That Deliver Unforgettable Customer Service. It's by Don DeJulius. And he actually started a hair salon and opened up several locations. I don't remember the exact number, but it's definitely several locations around the country. And he talks about the fact that he was able to do that because he had a really good service delivery process in place. And once he had that process in place, it enabled him to create a level of standardization to make sure that whether he had a location in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or New York City, the delivery of that service was always consistent and that the value and the experience was always consistent. So I also highly recommend this book. And then, yes, lastly, I must plug my own book, which is called Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. So when Calvin and I were talking a couple of months ago, I suggested he read chapter 6, which is called Red Pill or Blue Pill. And it's a story about these three business partners who own a mortgage company in New York City. They're in jeopardy of not being able to fulfill their customer promise of processing a loan in 30 days, but their consultant actually talks them through how to document their service delivery process so that they can figure out where the breakdowns are occurring and they could automate it and make sure that they were no longer in jeopardy of not being able to meet their customer promise. Calvin, I think you read that chapter in like a day or two. And the next thing I knew, he was like, okay, I have my spreadsheet. And yeah, my team and I were good to go. And I was like, whoa, that was fast. So that's the great thing about this book. You can actually read the chapters in isolation. It's not like one chapter builds off of the other.
Yeah.
Calvin, this was great. Thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about how you actually leverage all of these technologies, or even if they want to become a part of the Freeman Capital movement? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so the best and easiest way is to visit our website, which is www.freemancapital.co. That's not com.co, where, you know, we are providing holistic financial planning and wealth management to everyone for less than $1 a day, starting off. And of course, my LinkedIn, Calvin Williams, if you have something for me personally, but we would love to connect and help out and anyone. But I know that if they're listening to this, that they're already in good hands, and then they'll go on from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show today. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. It was a true pleasure.
Calvin and I walked you through the general steps of how to capture your service delivery or your product manufacturing process. Specifically, we talked about some of the main steps that you need to go through, regardless of the size of your company or the industry that you're operating in. It all starts with figuring out what is that promise that you are ultimately trying to deliver or make to your customer. It's all about your customer's experience. So the first thing that you want to do is actually write out the steps of everything that you do from the moment you land a customer all the way to actually closing or completing a project or providing a product or service. What are those steps? You then want to segment those steps into stages. Once you've segmented the steps into stages, you then want to look at each stage and figure out who are the people, the tools, the metrics, and the data that are associated with each of those stages. That's going to enable you to do the next step, which is figuring out where the bottlenecks and inefficiencies may exist in your process. And as you start to implement changes to make sure that you aren't in jeopardy of meeting your customer's promise, you can then make improvements. But with anything, anytime you improve something, you definitely want to test it. And Calvin spoke to us about the A/B testing that he and his team do. And then once you make these improvements, you want to make sure that you continue monitoring the metrics and the data that you are collecting that's associated with each stage, and just continuously repeat that cycle of improve, monitor, improve again. Some of the benefits from documenting this service delivery or product manufacturing process, Calvin did a great job of saying it definitely increases visibility among your team. He also talked about the fact that because they've been able to monitor their metrics and improve those metrics, it's actually yielding more business. Because I can imagine with Freeman Capital, as more people have a great experience with Freeman Capital, obviously they're telling other people, and they're seeing Freeman Capital win all of these awards. They're seeing all of the activity that they have going on online, on social, and other different venues. Another benefit that we didn't get to touch on during the interview is that when you're documenting these processes, it can actually become part of your company's trade secret. It could also be the backbone for a patent, depending on what your process actually is. So these are known as intangible assets in your company. And yes, they actually have a dollar value that can show up on your company's balance sheet. Why not just go ahead and get that process documented? Another thing that Calvin mentioned is that having your service delivery process allows you to look at your company's operations from a macro level and then drill down to a micro level so that you can start working backwards and figuring out again exactly where to make improvements. You definitely want to make sure you follow Calvin on social media. He's on LinkedIn, but I know you have a presence across all of the platforms, right? Including Instagram and Twitter. Can you give those handles really quickly?
Of course. So the company is Freeman Capital everywhere. And I am Calvin Williams, JR on Facebook and Instagram. And on Twitter, it's just Calvin Williams.
Definitely follow Calvin, because as you can see, there's always some tool that he's figured out. He has a fintech company, so he's definitely on the up and up when it comes to leveraging technology to improve your company's operations. Again, his website is freemancapital.co. As a reminder, we will have links to all of these amazing tools that Calvin shared in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. You'll also be able to see a visual description of this service delivery process that we're talking about in the video version of this interview. So make sure you go to businessinfrastructure.tv to check that out. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.